from KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wong. The Alaska Board of Fisheries is meeting in Kodiak January 11th through 14th to consider a number of finfish proposals, several of which pit Kodiak fishermen against Chignik and Cook Inlet in a fight for salmon. Speaking of Kodiak, Island Tanner fishermen are gearing up for a small fishery set to begin January 15th. And here's a question for you fish trivia folks. Why do we capitalize the T in Tanner? We'll have that answer later in the program. Meanwhile, in Southeast, a popular species of rockfish has been closed for the entire year. And finally, a New Year's Eve tragedy. The fishing vessel Scandies Rose sank on the way from Kodiak to out the chain to potfish for cod. Two out of seven crew members survived. The other five are presumed dead. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Sea Grant, sponsor of the Alaska Young Fishermen's Summit, a place to improve your skills and learn more about the industry, January 21st through the 23rd in Juneau. Find out more at alaskaseagrant.org.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries is meeting in Kodiak January 11th through 14th to consider 37 proposals dealing with Kodiak finfish regulations. Several of the proposals pit Kodiak's fishermen against those in Chignik and in Cook Inlet, as various interests in the state argue their case for allocating fish that swim between fishing areas. The Board of Fish will also consider proposals dealing with groundfish, sablefish, Pacific cod, and herring within the state's jurisdiction. Glenn Haight is the executive director of the Board of Fish.
You know, each one of these issues they're dealing with are proposals that come generally from the public. That could include associations. It could include advisory committees, put them together. Tribes will submit certain proposals. There are some proposals also that come from the department. Those tend to be fairly technical. But there's a number of proposals the board will be looking at, 37 actually, and dealing with a range of subjects. There are several that deal with groundfish, and a number deal with salmon. Those are pretty topical. We have a few that deal with herring as well.
Now, you might be wondering, what's the difference between the Board of Fish and the North Pacific Fishery Management Council?
The council moves very methodically on big issues, and it will take a subject, and it will study it, pursue it very, very finely for anywhere, I don't know, 3 to 10 years sometimes, and come to some conclusions along the way. But the board will take all of the management areas that it deals with throughout the state, and every 3 years it's going to deal with these various regions. So this year they're dealing with the Lower Cook Inlet, Upper Cook Inlet, and Kodiak finfish regions, as well as statewide king and tanner crab.
The meetings will be available through live streaming.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Tanner crab kicks off next week in Kodiak. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
Kodiak's tanner crab fishery opens on January 15th, albeit a small one. The opener will have a combined 400,000-pound catch limit in two areas, the minimum to open a fishery. Crabbers will tap on the tail end of a big tanner year class from 2013.
We first saw them in 2013 in the survey, and that's kind of the cohort that we fished in 2018 and 2019, and 2020 is probably going to be the last fishery on that specific cohort.
Natura Richardson is assistant area manager for the Westward region at Fish and Game at Kodiak. Despite the low catch, she says managers don't expect the fishery to go that fast.
We don't have any conservation concerns because there are so many mature crab in the water, so we still feel that we are leaving a good standing stock to reproduce. But because of that, people are going to be seeing a lot of non-target crab and not as many legal crabs. So probably not going to be high catch per unit effort. I think that it's going to be a little bit more work to get to the legal males.
Only mature male crabs can be retained for sale. At average weights of 2.2 pounds, the fishery should produce 182,000 crabs. Looking ahead, surveys have been tracking the biggest pulse of crab they've ever seen for several years. They'll likely enter the fishery by 2022.
We saw the next pulse in the survey last year, and we saw them again this year. So we have a lot of hope that they will continue to track through the population. That definitely looks promising for future fisheries.
That report was provided by Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960. Or online at alaskaboat.com.
Fishing for a popular species of rockfish has been closed in southeast Alaska for the entire year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game closed the sport, commercial, and personal use fishery for yellow-eye rockfish effective 12:01 a.m. on January 1st. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The ban includes all six species of non-pelagic rockfish. However, the yellow eye, often called red snapper, is by far the most prized. Bob Chadwick is the sport fish coordinator for Southeast Alaska. He says the populations of non-pelagic species are down dramatically despite years of restrictive bag limits.
Despite conservative management actions that we've been taking to reduce the harvest of non-pelagic rockfish, we're seeing a decrease in abundance, you know, of up to 60%.
The non-pelagic species include the quillback, tiger, silver gray, copper, and China rockfish. Non-pelagic rockfish are as long-lived as the humans who fish for them. They reach sexual maturity at 18 years of age and have an estimated maximum lifespan of 122 years. The Department of Fish and Game has tried rotating closures in the past, hoping to see stocks rebound in specific areas, but it hasn't worked. This is the first time the department has shut down fishing in the entire region. Andrew Olson is the state's commercial fisheries groundfish coordinator. He says the closure could last more than this year.
The yellow-eye is the predominant species captured, and they are a long-lived species and slow-growing, slow-reproducing, so it's going to take some time to rebuild.
Olson says other regions of the coast, down to British Columbia and Washington, have experienced declines in non-pelagic rockfish before. He hopes Alaska's strategy of an all-out closure restores stocks to commercial levels earlier than occurred in those fisheries. Yellow-eye, or red snapper, is one of the last remaining open-access fisheries in the state. Olson says it's a good opportunity for longliners to work their gear in the winter before the halibut season opens in March and after it closes in November. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The U.S. Coast Guard has suspended its search for five people feared lost after their 130-foot fishing vessel sank on New Year's Eve near Kodiak Island. KUCB's Hope McKenney reports the Coast Guard rescued two people before deciding to suspend the search for the rest of the Scandies Rose's seven-person crew.
Rescuers on scene Tuesday night and New Year's Day said the elements were against them. 40-mile-per-hour winds, well below freezing temperatures, and high seas as they searched for the Scandies Rose.
When we were down there, it was pretty wild.
Petty Officer Evan Grills is the rescue swimmer who plucked two crew members from a life raft.
It was 20 to 30 foot seas, and it was tremendously cold. So the dexterity and my hands were starting to go, and then just trying to battle keeping situational awareness between the helicopter, cable management, keeping your survivor's face out of the water, and making sure we both don't get tumbled in waves. Definitely challenging.
The pair that were rescued at about 2 a.m. New Year's Day were wearing Gumby survival suits. Coast Guard spokeswoman Melissa McKenzie.
When our helicopter crew arrived on scene, they found two life rafts in the search area. One had two survivors and the second one was empty.
The 34 and 36-year-old survivors reportedly had spent 4 hours in a life raft. They were hypothermic and admitted into a Kodiak hospital but had no other injuries. Lieutenant John Arden, co-pilot on the MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter, says the life raft was within 10 miles of the Scandies Rose's last known position. No wreckage or debris had been found.
We landed back in Kodiak with not a lot of fuel, so we didn't have very much time to search for additional survivors or to search for them. So it was truly a miracle that we found them so expeditiously that we're able to pick them up without incident. And that we started making our way back home with a good tailwind to push us.
The search for the Scandies Rose's crew spanned over 20 hours, 1,400 square miles, and included four helicopter crews, two airplane crews, and the Coast Guard cutter Mellon. Rear Admiral Matthew Bell said that after exhausting all leads and careful consideration of survival probability, the Coast Guard decided to suspend its active search pending new information or developments. The Coast Guard has not determined the cause of the incident off the Alaska Peninsula, about 170 miles west of Kodiak Island. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
While the Scandies Rose is homeported in Dutch Harbor, many consider it a Kodiak boat. The vessel was partly owned and skippered by a longtime Kodiak fishing family. In fact, two of those who perished when the vessel sank were from that family, Gary Cobbin Jr. and his 30-year-old son, David Cobbin. Patriarch of the family, Gary Cobbin Sr., moved to Kodiak from Seward in the fall of 1967. Through the years, he was a shrimper, crabber, salmon tender, and a visionary in the Kodiak fishing community. Jerry Cobbin Kanagan lost her brother and nephew when the Scandies Rose sank. She said the Kodiak community has been very supportive, and she finds it comforting when people compare her brother, Gary Jr., to her father, Gary Sr.
This summer, my brother was here in the Kodiak Island area, and he was a tenderman for the Kodiak Island area with the Scandies Rose. And he was down there tending in the same areas that my dad had spent a lot of time with, down on the east side with all of our boys down that way. And I heard from those guys, and they were, the things that I heard from them about my brother were like, holy cow, he's just like your dad. He's just so open and friendly and helpful, and he can fix anything, and he's on time, and he'll go wherever he needs to go, and he just treats us so good. And we're just so glad to have another Cobbin tenderman to take care of us.
That must make you feel good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes me feel wonderful.
Kanagan said she and her sister are holding tight to each other and standing firm during this very difficult time. They're getting through it the way they know best, like a Cobbin, by doing what needs to be done and then doing the next thing, even if it's hard, she says. Because that's what you do when you're a fisherman. You get the job done, even when it's hard. That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Robert Woolsey at KCAW in Sitka, Hope McKenney at KUCB in Unalaska, and Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio. For you fishermen, good luck in 2020, and please stay safe. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.